Hey, it's that time of year for those of you, God forbid, you got to keep your New Year's resolution. What if you're a timeshare owner and you want to get out of your timeshare? Maybe that's at the top of your list, or maybe you made a bad investment over the years. It doesn't matter. Let not your heart be troubled, because the new year is also a reminder that you can get serious about getting rid of this timeshare and doing it right and doing it legally. And Lone Star Transfer is absolutely an amazing group of people. From beginning to end, I highly recommend, if you have any type of timeshare, I want you to contact Lone Star and tell them I told you to call. They'll give you a free, no obligation consultation, and they'll help get you out of your timeshare. They'll do it the right way, the legal way, and it will take very little effort on your part, just by calling #250 on your mobile phone and saying the keyword timeshare. That's #250 on your cell phone, keyword timeshare. You can check them out online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
You have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from iHeartMedia.
All right, glad you're with us. Wow, what a busy news day we got today. Happy Monday to all of you. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza, the unbelievable level of corruption. I got it. It's even deeper than that. A raw contempt for we the people in an effort to steal a presidential election. It just every layer that continues to unfold. We'll get into the deep state, former deputy FBI director, interim director Andrew McCabe's interview last night, also implicating Rod Rosenstein about wearing a wire with President Trump. I could sneak right in. I could go right there myself. Yet all of this to everything we know. They exonerate a woman they know committed felonies. They made that decision months before they ever interviewed her. It's okay. No problem. You know, probably X number of foreign intel service is, you know, have hacked into Hillary's mom and pop shop bathroom closet server. You know, the risk that with classified information, top secret information on it. And listen, every other American, I'm sure, is going to get away with deleting subpoenaed emails and acid washing your hard drive and busting up the devices. Well, you'll all get away with that. I'm sure you all get away with, you know, those people that are in power. This, again, not rank and file, these top few 10, 12 people that took it upon themselves because they're smarter than you. They saved Hillary from getting indicted and being thrown out of the 2016 presidential race. Then they turned their sights on Donald Trump because they thought Hillary should win 100 million to zero. And he was a loathsome person. And then they even used Hillary's unverified, uncorroborated, phony Russian dossier to lie to the American people in the lead up to the election, and also use it as the bulk of information for a FISA warrant to deny a Trump campaign associate, not just really him, because once they got into his email, they got into everybody's email. They got into everything involving the Trump campaign. And then, of course, the insurance policy to bludgeon Trump and the 8 days that go on. Well, we may have to invoke the 25th Amendment. Well, why don't we just wear a wire on the president for no reason? No cause. Well, I thought maybe somebody maybe would have. How do you commit frauds before judges? All right, we got a lot to get to on all of that today. We're going to get also into, we're going to dig deep. You want to know what's going to happen with Ocasio-Cortez's new Green Deal that all these Democrats are jumping all over themselves to support? Well, I'm going to explain that to you. We'll get to that. Also, we have an update on the border battle. Of course, California is going to file suit. There was a suit filed over the weekend in Texas. But the smart thing is the president has the money in the interim to continue the project of building the wall. That ensues as he now pushes through the liberal courts to get to the Supreme Court. And I think he has very solid legislative support, legal support, constitutional authority to do so, as I've explained all last week. I have been very, very interested in, but very, very quiet about, this unfolding saga with this Empire actor, Jussie Smollett. And I don't know what it was, almost immediately, and I got to give some more credit to people that I know in Chicago that very early on were giving me a heads up that the reporting in Chicago was very, very different than what was going on here, and to be careful. And that's kind of our way anyway. We try to be careful and not rush to judgment. You know, Cambridge Police, UVA, Duke Lacrosse, you know, all the media, you know, guilty, guilty. All those professors at Duke, you know, I think about 85 of them, you know, taking out an ad in that newspaper basically declaring those kids guilty. Or Justice Kavanaugh or Ferguson, Missouri, Darren Wilson exonerated. He told the story 100% right, and we didn't find out until the people's testimony in the community, you know, told the truth. Now his career gets ruined. Just like nobody knew. Everyone was speculating in the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case. Only problem was there was an eyewitness that nobody had heard from till the very end who placed Trayvon on top of George Zimmerman doing a ground and pound with his head into the cement. And, you know, any of these cases, Ferguson, everyone was so convinced. Freddie Gray, all those six cops were going to go to jail. I said, no, I can tell you why not from the beginning. You just had to read the information. All goes back to Richard Jewell. And by the way, everyone that went after these Covington high school kids, that one kid in particular is wearing a MAGA hat, you know, all of you that jumped the gun there, I'm warning you, you're going to be paying huge sums of money because he hired Lynn Wood. Lynn Wood was the attorney for Richard Jewell. Richard Jewell, in the Olympic Park bombing case, he was originally thought to be a hero. And all of a sudden, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution comes out with, well, he fits the profile of the lone bomber. And it was like manna from heaven. And they just start pounding on this guy. Pounding on him. So happened when that day when that article came out, I happened to be on the air. And I'm reading it as I'm on the air, and I'm like, all right, he fits the profile of the lone bomber because he lives with his mother. That's all you got? Just because you live with your mom doesn't mean anything. Maybe he's just trying to save money to get a down payment for a house. Maybe something like that. And anyway, Lynn Wood made him a pretty rich man. And I would tell you the same thing's going to happen with these Covington kids. How do they ever, where do you go to get your good name back? Remember the words of great, what's his name? I was going to say Donovan, right? In the Reagan years. Where do I go to get my good name back after just years and years of allegations? Anyway, so the story goes, so there are these two brothers that are involved in this case that now have changed their testimony. Apparently they're from Nigeria. And, you know, but again, think of what's happening here. We had the hoax with BuzzFeed, followed 3 days later by the Covington kids. All of this on the heels of reckless innuendo and a rush to judgment to smear, slander, besmirch, destroy the character of Justice Kavanaugh. And the media does it again and again and again to advance their political agenda. In this particular case, you know, he was wearing the two brothers. He's wearing a MAGA hat and saying, you know, make America great again. CBS News points out, well, now the story's changed a lot. At CBSNews.com, the headline is brothers say Jussie Smollett paid them to participate in this alleged attack. The two Nigerian brothers arrested in connection with the assault on Empire actor Jussie Smollett are no longer suspects in the attack. They're now cooperating with the police, according to sources close to the investigation. Confirming to CBS News, the brothers told detectives that Smollett paid them $3,500 and was supposed to pay them another $500. Apparently, I guess they were leaving the country when they came back. And an attack that took place on January 29th, and that they were the ones that purchased the rope, which was found around Smollett's neck at a nearby hardware store. The source said detectives have evidence to corroborate the sale, something the men's attorney alluded to on Friday night. New evidence that was brought to their attention. Obviously, I had it. My clients had it, according to the brothers' attorneys. Chicago police released a statement saying that the information from the brothers have shifted the trajectory of the investigation. I got to tell you something. You're literally, you're taking police resources. This is why phony claims are so bad. And what we know about Jussie Smollett is he's a pretty angry guy that's obsessed with Donald Trump. You know, shut the hell up, you B-A-N. You'll continue to run this country further into the ground and risk lives every time you breathe. You're not the president, just a dumpster full of hate. Then he shows his support for AOC. Now we've got a problem, too. We've got, let's see, Cory Booker rushes to judgment, calling it a modern-day lynching. Kamala Harris, one of the, you know, saying he's one of the kindest, most gentle people I ever know. I pray him for his recovery. This was a modern-day lynching. Kirsten Gillibrand, a sickening, outrageous attack, horrible. It's the latest of too many hate crimes against the LGBTQ people and people of color. Julian Castro, Joe Biden, you know, go through the list. Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, who pulled back her tweet. Ocasio-Cortez, Maxine Waters, Don Lemon, actress Ellen Page. And even after all this new information came out, Cory Booker still withholding judgment. You can't withhold judgment when you've already given judgment and rushed to judgment and call it a lynching, a modern-day lynching.
Well, the information is still coming out, and I'm going to withhold until all the information actually comes out.
Why didn't you do that in the beginning?
That bigoted and biased attacks are on the rise in a serious way. What we're seeing is attacks on people because they're different, and we all need to join together and condemn those attacks. Since 9/11, the majority of the terrorist attacks on our soil have been right-wing terrorist attacks.
You know, Rosie O'Donnell casting the blame on MAGA. And you got, let's see, Katy Perry. I mean, all the predictable hate Trump share. And you get the picture. Rob Reiner, Meathead. They all do the same thing all the time. It's always the same story. Hate Trump, no matter what. Rush to judgment. Hate Trump. You know, and look, this is, you know, think of BuzzFeed. Think of Kavanaugh. Think of the Covington High School kids claiming immediately they insulted a Native American elder. And smearing these kids as racist because they wore MAGA hats. You know, and then when the truth comes out, I don't see the apologies. I think Lynn Wood, the attorney for these Covington kids, gave them like a 24, 48-hour period to retract and apologize, which is, he didn't have to do that. He could just go right in, and most of them didn't do it, which was even dumber. Now, apparently, they're going to bring this guy in for some type of new interview. But, you know, it's just a long list of roadkill of media that is abusively biased in this country. And by the way, Smollett himself specifically blamed Trump for this race attack when he was interviewed by Robin Roberts.
Why do you think you were targeted?
I can just assume. I mean, I come really, really hard against 45. I come really, really hard against his administration. And I don't hold my tongue.
I want to ask you about Jesse Smollett.
I think that's horrible. It doesn't get worse, as far as I'm concerned.
Were you aware that he made that statement?
I saw it. I don't know what to say to that. You know, I appreciate him not brushing over it.
You know, then you got, I mean, this was fully reported. New York Times, Washington Post, CNN fake news, PBS NewsHour, Conspiracy TV, MSNBC, Rolling Stone, more CNN analysts. Got a lot of them over there. More MSNBC analysts, Washington Post editor, Huffington Post. You know, I mean, it just, the list goes on. But it's not the first time. They do it all the time. All right, we'll get to that. We also have, did you watch that interview last night with Andrew McCabe? Wow. If we don't get to the bottom of this, we're in trouble. Also, the migration out of these high-taxed states like New York, New Jersey, California, Illinois, the numbers are staggering. I'll share that with you. Hey, if you're one of 34 million Americans that smokes, you know what a hassle it can be. For me, I'm out playing golf and I come back smelling like cigars. It's the smell on your hands and your breath, your clothes. But now, thanks to Juul, You don't have to worry about it anymore. Juul is a vaporizer. It does contain nicotine for a satisfying transition. Now, when I found Juul, it was a complete game changer in my life. I don't smoke any cigars any longer, and Juul was designed by smokers for smokers to be an alternative to whatever it is you're smoking. So if you're one of 34 million adults who do smoke, cigars, cigarettes, pipe, whatever, well, there is an alternative to all of them. Now, to discover the smoking alternative that's like nothing you've ever tried, just visit juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. Now, warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is addictive. All these numbers I'm going to give you on how people are fleeing these high-tax states, it's shocking. But it's also the future of the country if we continue to, if we get the new Green Deal. We'll get to that. Biden is diving in polls. I'll hit that today. The McCabe interview. We'll get to all of it. I want to say a special shout-out. Pat Caddell passed away over the weekend. This guy loved politics. Lived it, breathed it, slept it. Was knowledgeable, fun, self-taught, amazing guy. Ethan, did you see, by the way, too, that I want to send my love to his family and our prayers to his family as well. He's a great guy. If you can do more than 40 push-ups, you're far less likely to have a heart attack. In a city, you have to be 40 is like a minimum. I do a minimum of 50 a shot, and sometimes it's inclined this way or that way. Just good to do it. Newsbusters had a really good article out. How long before we see Trump derangement syndrome used as a legal defense? Wow. Can you not see that happening? Of course it's going to happen. I couldn't help myself because Donald Trump. Cory Booker, the planet simply cannot sustain people eating meat. Our friend Joy Reid, stop zombie Trump supporters from infecting others. I got to say thank you to Nancy Pelosi for wishing everybody a happy Thanksgiving on Valentine's Day, too. Did you guys see that one? Anthony Weiner is out of jail. I guess he's in a transition home of some kind. I don't know what it is. He spent, 15 months out of his 2 years or something? 15 months out of his 21-month sentence. Good behavior in prison. Oh, and we got video of CNN fake news, a reporter helping Kamala Harris try on clothes during a campaign stop. And it's something you can't make. An 11-year-old arrested because they refused to stand for the pledge. Doesn't want to stand. Just let him sit. Why would you do that? All right. When we come back, why are people leaving New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California in droves, and why are they going to certain other states? I've got the full roundup of numbers and last night's McCabe interview coming up. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. Another constitutional expert, Jonathan Turley, predicts, Trump is going to prevail in this court fight over the border wall national emergency, which I've been saying it's likely to happen. There's a Washington Examiner story out that says, looks like Democrats' anti-ICE rhetoric has led to violence. We're going to watch this story where over the weekend, according to the museum director, which is the U.S. Border Patrol Museum near El Paso, where they proceeded to intimidate staffers, deface some of the exhibits. There's some witnesses to this. 50 angry and rowdy protesters entered the facility. Say it loud, say it clear, Border Patrol kills. I don't know if there's a video of it, but we'll be looking out for that. And California, predictably, they said they're going to have a lawsuit over that. Look, it's going to be exactly as I said, which is why getting any border money in the interim and the president using other funds he can redirect, as well as the 1.375, that means the wall continues to get repaired and built while this works its way through the court system, which there are so many constitutional issues. The president's role as commander in chief, the law that allows and has allowed and continues to allow a president, especially with international drug trade issues, to build barriers. So I think he's on solid ground every way on all of this. And I think he wins in the end. By the way, the feds busted a massive Mexican drug cartel operation in North Carolina. Fox News had reported this, that six illegal immigrants with ties to a Mexican drug cartel, a rival of the Sinaloa cartel, whose notorious leader is Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, who was convicted last week, were arrested on elaborate drug trafficking operations in North Carolina. Large amounts of cocaine, methamphetamine, they were dragging across state lines, for instance, from Texas to Georgia to North Carolina. Oh, but don't worry. Beto Bozo O'Rourke plans to tear down the border wall. Apparently, it's gaining some traction now among other Democrats. Great. Let's just tear it down. Tear down this wall. Great. There goes, you know, how do you make the case? 4,000 homicides, two-year period, 30,000 sexual assaults, 100,000 violent assaults, 90% of heroin, now fentanyl, cartels, gangs. Now, granted, I mean, when you have so many people across the border, it's relatively like 2% of the people, but it's still wide open borders. How many criminal illegal immigrants, you know, even those involved in horrible violent crimes, you know, we deport them and they can walk right back across and we don't stop them. Happens all the time.
You know, would you, if you could, would you take the wall down now? Here.
Yes.
Like you have a wall.
Absolutely.
Knock it down.
I'd take the wall down.
And do you think the city, you think if there's a referendum here in this city, that would pass?
I do. Here's what we know. After the Secure Fence Act, we have built 600 miles of wall and fencing on a 2,000-mile border. What that has done is not in any demonstrable way made us safer. It's cost us tens of billions of dollars to build and to maintain, and it has pushed migrants and asylum seekers and refugees to the most inhospitable, the most hostile stretches of the U.S.-Mexico border, ensuring their suffering and death. More than 4,000 human beings, little kids, women, and children, have died. They're not in cages. They're not locked up. They're not separated. They're dead over the last 10 years as we have walled off their opportunity to legally petition for asylum, to cross in urban centers like El Paso, to be with family, to work jobs, to do what any human being should have a right to be able to do, what we would do if faced with the same circumstances they were.
All right. That's their plan. All right. Let me go down. This is fascinating. I actually did a deep, deep dive into what is happening in the country in terms of migration, meaning, you know, people moving from California, New Jersey, New York, and Illinois to places like Texas and Tennessee. And what I found is phenomenal. I want to start first with the comments of Andrew Cuomo, who is the governor of New York. Their seats are down. They're way down. They're down, you know, anywhere between 39% and 46%. That's $2.3 billion in a drop in revenues. Let me play that first. Listen to this.
We are now seeing in the receipts the effect of SALT. The receipts are down. They're down in both the withholding component and they're down in both the estimated payments that we're seeing coming in. The variance from the projections appeared abruptly in late December. They've continued through January. Typically 39% to 46% of the PIT receipts would have come in during this period. The collections are down to about 30% of the target. That is about a $2.3 billion drop in revenues. $2.3 billion as a drop at this point in revenues is as serious as a heart attack.
Here's what he's complaining about. Now, think about this. All these states, and I'll go over the numbers in a minute, with these high state, city income taxes like New York, which leads the way, well, that used to be deductible on your federal income taxes. Now, here's the problem. Well, that deduction doesn't exist for people in Texas or people in Florida or people in Tennessee or states that have very low state income taxes. So the bottom line is, and listen, this impacts me. And I will pay more because I can't deduct my state city income taxes any longer. But I also don't think it's fair that if you're smart enough not to live in New York or California or New Jersey or Illinois, and you live in a no-income tax state like Texas or Florida, why should you not get the break that everyone in these high-tax states are getting? What they basically have allowed to happen over the years is low-tax states are punished by subsidizing in many ways because they don't get the break. That which, you know, it incentivizes these states to just keep doing it because their residents are getting to deduct it on their income taxes. Now, this is where it gets fascinating, where Cuomo says we have a fragile economy. We're relying on a very small number of people, for the vast amount of tax dollars. Now, listen closely to this.
We have one of the most progressive tax codes in the United States, which is a good thing, which means the richer you are, the more you pay. However, that presents a very fragile economy because then you are relying on a very small number of people for the vast amount of your tax dollars. 1% of the taxpayers pay nearly half of all the taxes. 1% pay nearly half of all those taxes. Those 1% are the richest people in the state, they're the richest people in the country, and they are the most mobile people in the country. And you see the chart on the bottom. Top 1%, about 46%. Top 5%, 63% of all the revenue. Top 10%, 74% of all the revenue. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. We did. Now, God forbid the rich leave.
Now, you'd think he'd get smart, and this is all also tied to this Amazon debacle of the governor and of the comrade mayor de Blasio. You know, if 1% of New Yorkers pay 46% of the bill, and 10% pay 75% of the bill, and 50%+ pay nothing, why do you think these people are leaving? Because now I've got the numbers. We'll start in New York because that's what we're talking about. You know, New York, if you look at the actual real numbers, the total number of New Yorkers in 2017 that moved just to Florida was 63,722. You know, Californians to Texas, 63,174. And if you take it a step further, well, what are the top 10 states, according to the Tax Foundation, that pay the tax burden, meaning state local tax burden share of state income? Well, New York's the highest at 12.7 when you include not just the state, but also city and local taxes. Connecticut, 12.6. New Jersey, 12.2. Wisconsin, 11. Illinois, 11. California, 11. Maryland, 10.9. And it goes on from there. The top 10 migration states, Idaho, low to no taxes. Nevada, South Carolina, all low to no taxes. Arizona, Florida, Texas. Well, why wouldn't they? You look at the big losers. New York, Hawaii, Illinois, New Jersey, Connecticut. And you say, well, why is this all happening? I'll give you one example. You know, in 9 years, California lost 1 million people. Last year or the last year they followed, 2017, 130,000 more Californians left than came into California. And they often cite and they often go to cheaper nearby states like Nevada or Arizona, or a lot of them are going to Texas. You know, Texas, I think, and Florida took in nearly 300,000 plus new people in the last year. And then you look at the reasons why. Well, what about companies? Oh, let's stay in California for a second. Companies moving out of California. This was a 2018 study by Spectrum Location Solutions. Okay, they've identified 1,800 relocation disinvestment events just in 2016 alone. 13,000 companies left in an 8 or 9 year period. Of the 1,800 that left in 2016, the most recent data we have, well, 300 of those departures landed in Texas. Now, what kind of companies are leaving California? Oh, probably little baby mom and pop shops. Oh, like Toyota that left for Dallas. Jacobs Engineering Group that went to Dallas, or Carl's Jr. that went to Tennessee, or, oh, Nissan, another small company. They went to Nashville. Jamba Juice, they went to Texas. Occidental Petroleum, they went to Texas. Numera Biosciences, they left for Salt Lake City. And so many other companies. Why would people stay? What is the point of people staying? Now, why do I bring all this up? Is New Yorkers fleeing to Florida? And the only thing is if they bring their horrible policies that bankrupted their states with them, they're going to destroy the new states. There ought to be a sign, a pledge you make. Don't, if you want to come, you're welcome. But if you're going to bring the stupid policies that bankrupted your state with burdensome regulations, et cetera, and high, high taxes, stay where you are. Don't ruin our state the way you ruin the state you're coming from. You know, it's just on every level, it's all about very specific things. High taxes and a burdensome business environment. That's it. You know, now California is going to give free health care to anybody. Well, that's basically, why don't we put a sign on the door and say, welcome to California, legal, illegal, American, non-American, free health care. You know, New Yorkers are complaining $15 minimum wage is increasing food prices. Yeah, no kidding. There's a Stockton, California is literally now sending debit cards with $500 to residents starting as Friday in an experiment, universal basic income. You know, in Great Britain, by the way, it's happening there too. The richest man there, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, guess what? He packed up and he's moving to Monaco, or I think they only have a consumption tax. And so if you have the, you add the new Green Deal to all of this, or you add Amazon pulling out of all this, first of all, why does Amazon pay no income taxes at all for 2 years? Why do, if I ever paid no income taxes, I would be arrested first in a pre-dawn raid, and then questions would be asked later. Bezos doesn't pay any income taxes for 2 years, and he's making a fortune? You got to be kidding me. Anyway, then he's going to get a deal like in New York, for, and I don't want these people to lose these jobs. But he can start, the governor can start fracking in upstate New York, and you'll create hundreds of thousands of new jobs and a new influx of wealth, and of course environmentalists, you know, they're all over Andrew Cuomo, even if he wanted to do it. And what you have here is, why don't you give every company what you are offering Amazon? And I'm going to say one other thing about this. I don't even know how you make a transition. It's so bad. And on top of it, it's the worst infrastructure in the country. The absolute worst. You have better infrastructure in Florida, no state income tax. Same in Texas, no state income tax. And what these policies are doing, now you add the new Green Deal, no airplanes in 12 years. We'll take, you know, a sailboat over to Europe. And I can't wait for that high-speed train to Australia and Alaska and Hawaii and Asia and everywhere else it's going to go. But no more meat, according to Cory Booker. Free health care, free college education, free housing, free. And free government-protected food, government-healthy food. This is, what do you think is going to happen then? Exactly what's happening in New York, New Jersey, Illinois, and California. Just like this guy from Great Britain, their richest guy, going to Monaco. Others going to Belgium. They're going to take their money with them and leave. That's what the new Green Deal will get you.
So through good reporting by 60 Minutes, there's an allegation by the acting FBI director at the time that the deputy attorney general was basically trying to do an administrative coup, take the president down through the 25th Amendment process. The deputy attorney general denies it. So I promise your viewers the following, that we will have a hearing about who's telling the truth, what actually happened. Mr. Cabe, you remember, was dismissed from the FBI for leaking information to the press, so you got to remember the source here. But the entire 2016 election needs to be looked at. Mueller's doing his part to look at Trump. Apparently, it's going to be up to Congress to look at what the FBI and DOJ did regarding abuses of power against President Trump.
Will you subpoena McCabe and Rosenstein to appear?
How can I not, if that's what it takes? I mean, you're doing your job. The First Amendment allows you to ask questions of the most powerful people in the country. I know he's selling a book, and we need to take with a grain of salt maybe what Mr. McCabe is telling us. But he went on national television and made an accusation that floors me. You know, I can imagine if the shoe were on the other foot, this were, we're talking about getting rid of President Clinton, it'd be front page news all over the world. Well, we're going to find out what happened here, and the only way I know to find out is to call the people in under oath and find out, you know, through questioning who's telling the truth, because the underlying accusation is beyond stunning.
All right, Hannity Watch on the Deep State, hour two. Glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. This gets more insane by the minute, by the hour, by the day. You know, I went back earlier today and I reviewed the Inspector General's report and everything that was written about Andrew McCabe and Strzok and Page and others. You know, if it was 568 pages, 868 mentions of McCabe, 581 mentions of Strzok, 358 mentions of Page, and a 39-page report specific to McCabe in February 18th. And, you know, it goes through chapter and verse, you know, where the Inspector General of the Department of Justice concludes on one issue that this conduct violated FBI Offense Code 2.5, lack of candor, no oath. The next charge, this conduct violated FBI Offense 2.6, lack of candor under oath. This conduct violated FBI Offense Code 2.6, lack of candor and under oath. And it's throughout the entire report. Now, we just heard from Lindsey Graham, rightly saying that he's calling for a Senate hearing. This would be under his domain in the Senate judiciary. They have the right to investigate this. He's saying he will go forward with all of that. And you look at the revelations of McCabe. You know, it's pretty fascinating that a guy that was fired for lying and leaking is out. Well, Rod Rosenstein offered to wear a wire. The interesting part is we've gotten three different versions from Rod Rosenstein. And what he's describing here is, you know, all of these same players, for the most part, are up to their eyeballs in all of this. That is making sure that Hillary Clinton got to stay in the race. They rigged the investigation, exonerated her before even having an investigation. The crime she committed was serious and well documented. And, you know, none of this has seemed to bother anybody in Mueller's office or anybody in the FBI. They thought they were, you see, there are certain people in life that just have contempt for the American people. I mean, it's so revealed in Peter Strzok's comments. Remember, Strzok is the one that wrote the exoneration in May of 2016, along with James Comey for Hillary Clinton. He interviewed not only General Flynn, but Hillary Clinton. And that was July 2nd, 2016. Comey then circumvents a compromised attorney general at the time, Loretta Lynch, who met on the tarmac with Bill Clinton. And he goes out there, spends 13 and a half plus minutes saying, yeah, Hillary Clinton violated all these things. There was classified, top secret, special access programming information on that mom and pop shop server bathroom in a bathroom closet. And she did destroy 33,000 emails that had been subpoenaed and cleaned her hard drive, not with a cloth, but with bleach, but and so on and so forth. You know, and they just, everything they could do, they tried to do. This is what the insurance policy is about. Trump is a loathsome human being that should lose $100 million to zero. And I noticed fake news CNN that has never gone into the story because it doesn't fit their hate Trump narrative. Oh, all these people are saying it's a coup. Well, what else would you call it when, in fact, you have these powerful people doing this very thing? Well chronicled. By the way, Christopher Steele, who testified about his own dossier in an interrogatory in Great Britain, saying, oh, I don't know if any of it's true. You know, it's raw intelligence, maybe 50-50. The guy that was paid by Fusion GPS with funneled money from Hillary Clinton and the DNC, he's now stonewalling Senate Intelligence Committee. I don't know how long that's going to continue. Then we have, you know, the president, I don't blame him. He's pretty pissed off at Rod Rosenstein, the deputy FBI director, who was the one who appointed Mueller. And apparently now this is confirmed by numerous people. On the one hand, he wants, well, I guess he wanted Comey out so he could get the job, knowing that Jeff Sessions was in a state of recusal. And those 8 days in May between the firing of Comey and the appointment of the special counsel, he's up to his eyeballs talking about, I'll wear a wire. It's unbelievable. I mean, it is. You don't think it can happen here in the United States of America. You know, it's and if these people aren't held accountable, then we don't have equal justice under the law ever. Anyway, Carter Page is with us. He was the target, as all of you know now, of the warrant, Trump campaign associate. And we now know that the bulk of information is secure. That application to the FISA court was the unverified, uncorroborated, bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton phony Russian dossier that's whose own author doesn't stand by it. And let's see, Yates and Comey and even Rod Rosenstein and a bunch of other people all signed off on all of this. Welcome back, Carter Page. What's your reaction to all this?
Well, Sean, it's incredible, and actually a slight little you're absolutely right on everything you're saying, but slight little caveat on one point about me being the target. I wasn't the target. They just wanted to bring down President, you know, then candidate Trump, then
you know why that's
President
true
elect,
because
and, you know, it's, and we heard it yesterday too. It's a continuation. Yep.
The reason why that's true is because, you know, with all of the, you know, fire and fury of Mueller and his pit bulls, and even having hired Hillary Clinton's own attorney on the Clinton Foundation and Andrew Weissman waiting breathlessly at the Clinton victory party on election night. Yeah, but you were used, but they talk to you and then you're done and, you know, your purposes have been served here. But they used you and violated your rights when they committed a fraud on the FISA court and they withheld certain information from the court, like Hillary paid for it, and they never verified it, because if they tried to verify it, its own author doesn't stand by it. They basically ripped away all constitutional rights you, as an American citizen, have.
Well, you're absolutely right, Sean. But again, this is just a continuation of precisely that process. Because remember, it all kind of tied back into leaks and lies to the media. And that's exactly what we saw over the last 24 hours with this lovely CBS 60 Minutes interview, you know, that that they had with Mr. McCabe. You know, he was at the very center of all that, you know, and with close ties and, you know, financial ties to the DNC establishment. You know, it's just incredible.
But you see all of this is, you know, happening. I mean, you know, all of this now, and Hillary Clinton walks away scot-free in all of this. But meanwhile, we have a Uranium One deal, and, you know, we want to talk about Russia collusion. Let's talk about Russia collusion, because what Hillary ultimately ended up paying for was a dossier full of Russian lies put together by a foreign agent that she funneled money through Perkins Coie to Fusion GPS. So she paid for Russian lies. What did we do with those Russian lies? Well, first, they were disseminated and written about to hurt Donald Trump's chances of winning the election. Hookers urinating in his bed in a Ritz-Carlton in Moscow. Then it's used as the bulk of information to obtain a FISA warrant. Well, yes, against you, but getting into your account gives them an entire backdoor into the entire Trump campaign. And then you got Uranium One, is we've got Putin's actors. We know they're in America. We have a guy named William Campbell, an FBI undercover agent, watching it and reporting back about Putin's thugs involved in bribery and extortion and kickbacks and money laundering. Hillary Clinton still, along with others, signs off on that ridiculous deal, knowing all this is happening. And lo and behold, the $145 million ends up in the Clinton Foundation from those people involved in that deal. While Bill Clinton goes to Russia, he wanted to meet with the nuclear people there over this deal. But no, he got right to the top. He met Vladimir Putin and got paid three times his normal fee.
Well, you're absolutely right, Sean. But again, just look at what we heard over the last 24 hours. Andrew McCabe, you know, eventually in 2017, when he's doing all these devious deeds against President Trump, he's one of the people that signed one of the FISA renewals, you know, once Comey was gone. You know, within weeks of all these crazy things that he was describing on CNN CBS 60 Minutes last night. You know, so it's just a big continuation, one thing after another. And, you know, I, as you alluded to with the DOJ Inspector General, you know, Matt Whitaker was asked about that at House Judiciary 10 days ago, and they're continuing to look at this FISA process. And, you know, now we have a new attorney general this week, so We shall see. Things are looking
pretty good.
Well,
it's a big if. I don't know anything about William Barr. Nothing. I really have no idea. I know some good people vouch for him.
Yeah.
Some, you know, people that I really like and trust, like Joe DiGenova. And Joe sings his praises. We know he was critical publicly about what Mueller was doing. You know, but now that he's there, what's he going to do? Now, DOJ guidelines say assuming Mueller comes out with a report, rumors are it could be within the next month, whatever. DOJ guidelines post Clinton impeachment and special counsels, et cetera, or independent counsels say that, no, they don't have to release any of this.
Well, the bigger investigation, as you have been correctly reporting for, going on 2 years already, Sean, is this, the next second special counsel about the FISA abuse and the efforts to take down the Trump campaign. And that's exactly what you were hearing yesterday on 60 Minutes with Mr. McCabe. So it's just beginning.
All right, more with Carter Page on the other side of this discussion. Also, at the bottom of the hour, an incredible new trend is happening all across America. Leave New York, New Jersey, California, Illinois, all these high-tax states, and let's go to where you pay no income taxes. All right, we'll get to that when we get back. All right, as we continue with Carter Page in light of this new book by Andrew McCabe, I mean, all these times in the Inspector General's report, lying, 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 lying. But then again, is he telling the truth about Rod Rosenstein? On the other hand, because Rod changed his story about, this wearing a wire issue and invoking the 25th Amendment issue a number of times. Who do you tend to believe, Carter Page?
Well, Sean, all I know is within weeks of everything that Mr. McCabe was referring to yesterday, Mr. Rosenstein signed the final FISA warrant in June 2017.
Yes, he did. So, by the way, by that time, we would have known that the bulk of information in every FISA application omitted that Hillary paid for it, omitted that it was never verified or corroborated. And McCabe, remember, once infamously said, no dossier, no FISA warrant.
Absolutely. And, as I showed to you, that same month, within days of what Mr. McCabe was referring to yesterday, I sent a series of emails to Mr. Rosenstein. You know, right as he had been appointed, I sent him a bunch of emails explaining reality. And, he nonetheless went ahead and continued this series of lies. And now we're starting to see a little bit of a picture of just how corrupt this entire process was.
What do you plan to do now? Who is next that you're going to sue?
Well, Sean, this is just all very typical because the battle is, it's exactly as you're alluding to throughout this program. They are lying to courts. They are lying to the American people. And the DNC, who I've been suing in Oklahoma, they filed a number of responses to my original complaint last year. And, I'm fighting to get the truth out there. I sent a letter to FBI Director Wray asking for him for some disclosure about the terror threats that this led to. And so hopefully, we'll get a little disclosure, but it's an ongoing battle.
All right. Well, it hasn't been fair to you. Your constitutional rights were trampled on, and it's pretty unbelievable that more people don't care about that aspect of it or the real Russia collusion. And, hopefully the attorney general does his job. Otherwise, just shred the Constitution, equal justice under the law, equal application of our laws. All right, Carter Page, thank you. Appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. And we'll get to the very latest on this Justin Smollett situation and more straight ahead.
We are now seeing in the receipts the effect of SALT. The receipts are down. They're down in both the withholding component and they're down in both the estimated payments that we're seeing coming in. The variance from the projections appeared abruptly in late December. They've continued through January. Typically, 39 to 46% of the PIT receipts would have come in during this period. The collections are down to about 30% of the target. That is about a $2.3 billion drop in revenues. $2.3 billion as a drop at this point in revenues is as serious as a heart attack. We have one of the most progressive tax codes in the United States, which is a good thing, which means the richer you are, the more you pay. However, that presents a very fragile economy, because then you are relying on a very small number of people for the vast amount of your tax dollars. 1% of the taxpayers pay nearly half of all the taxes. 1% pay nearly half of all those taxes. Those 1% are the richest people in the state, they're the richest people in the country, and they are the most mobile people in the country. And you see the chart on the bottom. Top 1%, about 46%. Top 5%, 63% of all the revenue. Top 10%, 74% of all the revenue. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. We did. Now, God forbid the rich leave.
My favorite line ever. Now, God forbid the rich leave. Well, you pretty much ran them out of New York, Governor, and that's the point. Is anybody really surprised? $2.3 billion drop. Let me give you the tax burden, top 10 states, tax foundation. Oh, New York's number one, with a state local tax burden as a share of income at 12.7%. Connecticut, 12.6. New Jersey, 12.2. Wisconsin, 11. Illinois, 11. California, 11. Maryland, 10.9. Minnesota, 10.8. Rhode Island, 10.8. Oregon, 10.3. You want to see? Let's see. Now, what are the top net migration losers? Oh, you see New York, Hawaii, also highly taxed. Illinois, New Jersey, Connecticut, all those same states. You know, how well did we, I'm looking at all my radio team here, how well did we get to know Rick Scott, Bobby Jindal, and Rick Perry of Texas? So well. You know why? Because they kept coming to New York. Why are the governor of Texas, Louisiana, and Florida keep coming up to New York? Because they came up, met with business people, and said, you will keep so much more of your money, it's worth the cost of moving. You know, and if you look at it, for example, you know, it's the same in California. You know, about 130,000 residents left California just in 2017. You know, whoa, Texas and Florida, they're gaining, you know, upwards of nearly 400,000 migrants every single year. Now, think of it this way. You know, that's roughly the equivalent of the population of Oakland, California. Wait, but California is now going to offer free health care to everybody. Well, look at this. There's another study that has come out, Spectrum Location Solutions. Now, in California, they have a study in December of 2018, 1,800 relocation or disinvestment events occurred in 2016, the most recent year available. In a 9-year period, 13,000 companies left California. Wow, a good majority of them, by the way, landing in Texas. And well, what kind of companies are we talking about? Mom and pop shops? No, that would be Toyota. That would be Jacobs Engineering Group. That would be Carl's Jr. that headed to Tennessee. That would be Nissan. They headed for Nashville. Jamba Juice. They left San Francisco for Texas. Occidental Petroleum. They left for Houston, Texas, and so many other companies as well. You know, you want to look at net migration of Florida, New York to Florida for 1 year, 27. New York loses 63,722 New Yorkers moving to Florida. California to Texas, 63,174. Illinois to Wisconsin, 26,963. Well, you think it has something to do with the top tax burden that we're putting on people? I think it has a lot to do with them. There's an article was on FoxNews.com. In New Yorkers fleeing to Florida need to leave their terrible blue state policies behind as well. Yeah, $2.3 billion budget deficit. People are going to states that are low tax, business friendly. Problem is, if you leave New York, New Jersey, and Illinois and California, you can't go to Florida and Texas and adopt the same policies that chased you out of those states, which is my great fear. You know, it's, you know, they find their tax haven, and then all of a sudden, well, let's raise taxes on the people that have been here fighting to keep their states smart with a good business environment. All right, Steve Moore, you're looking at these numbers all the time, this mass migration. You hear what Cuomo's saying. I mean, he's admitting we're chasing you out, but we want you to stay anyway. They're not staying.
Yeah, Sean, that's for sure. And the contradiction of that statement that you played by Cuomo is he said, you know, it's a good thing we have the most progressive tax in the country. What he means by that is the highest tax rates. And you're so right. The five states with the highest taxes are New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, California, and my home state of Illinois, and they are just getting crushed every year by the southern states and the low-tax states, states like Utah, Texas, Tennessee. You know, I travel all over the country, Sean, as you do, and I got to tell you, every time I go to, you know, Tennessee or Texas or California or Utah or Idaho, all I see is New York license plates, California license plates, Illinois license plates. When are liberals going to get a clue that these high taxes, and by the way, their forced union policies are what are driving people and businesses out of the state?
You know, my great fear is, though, is that these people that say they had enough, they're going to bring the liberal policies that destroyed their states with them and, you know, destroy. Look how close the Florida gubernatorial and senatorial races were. Look at Ted Cruz. You know, you got, you know, more blue people supporting Bozo the candidate down in Texas.
It's a real worry. No question about it. You know, I live in Virginia. When I first moved to Virginia, it was a red state, and then it turned a purple state because so many New Yorkers and Marylanders and other Northeasterners moving to the state. Now you'd have to say Virginia's virtually a blue state. The same thing in Colorado. You know, I asked my friends in Colorado, why was such a conservative state now voting so liberal? And they say all these Californians, Sean, are coming into Colorado and they're voting for the same kind of people who put in place the policies they were leaving.
Now, so how is that even remotely possible? Because they're leaving for financial reasons. Then they're going to vote in a place.
I know.
It just makes no sense at all.
It doesn't. But, you know, the big story now that everybody around the country is talking about, and it just shows the dysfunction of the state of New York, is the tragedy of what happened last week with Amazon, a country that was going to bring 25,000 jobs. And by the way, I estimate there are going to be another 20,000 jobs or so related to the 25,000 jobs they were going to create.
By the way, on average, paying about $150,000 a year, which is, I hate to say it, it's not a lot. Even Long Island City, which is outside of New York City, it's in Queens, New York. But I actually have a problem with it to begin with. Maybe I'm wrong. Why does Amazon, that for 2 years in running, make all this money and they don't pay a penny in taxes? Why do they get, well, you know, $3 billion in breaks? I know they're competing for it. Why doesn't every business in New York get the break?
Well, that's a great point. And that's one of the reasons some people in New York were, you know, dissatisfied with that deal. But here's the thing. If that Amazon, because it looks like Amazon may move to Nashville, Tennessee. Well, look, they don't have to give special tax breaks in Tennessee, right, Sean? Because they don't have an income tax.
Exactly. You know, so same with Florida.
It's a much better.
Steve, you have no idea. I was almost every other week. You know, I'd get a call from Rick Perry's office. I've always liked him, close to him. I love Bobby Jindal, love Rick Scott. And they go, hey, we're going to be in New York. Do you, you know, if I can't, can I stop by? And you know what I figured out? They figured out, okay, well, the show's on in New York in radio, and they want to go directly to the New York business guys and say, move to us. Move here. Smart.
Yeah,
they were smart.
When I talked to those governors, you know, they said, hey, we used to have, you know, business offices in France and Germany and Spain and Australia. They said, now we don't need to do that anymore. We just put those relocation offices in New York City, and they put them in Boston, Massachusetts, and they put them in Rhode Island. It's a tragedy what's happening to those states. I mean, it used to be 30 or 40 years ago, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut were the richest states in the country. You remember that, Sean, and now they're just being bled to death, and the politicians won't do anything about it. I mean,
they're also losing
New York needs a flat tax.
They're losing their young, their youth. They're losing, you know, and, you know, I have some other stories here. Look at this. New Yorkers, this was on the Blaze, aren't happy with the $15 minimum wage because it increased food prices. Then it goes on. This Stockton, California is starting $500, no strings payments to residents, to part of the equal income argument that's being made by the Green New Deal.
Uh-huh.
In Great Britain, they have this billionaire, Sir Jim Ratcliffe. You know what he's doing?
Uh-huh.
He's moving to Monaco. You know why? I think they have a consumption tax, if I'm not mistaken, there. We have food. You know, there's, in other words, this is the only way out. Now, I wanted the jobs badly because I know it would help the people in Long Island City. And, you know, I was raised in New York. But how dumb are the governor and the mayor of New York not to make sure it's a done deal and they allow low-level local politicians to kill it? And Bezos, not a dope, I guess. If I didn't pay income tax, I'm sure I'd be handcuffed, have a pre-dawn raid with, you know, SWAT teams and frogs and amphibious vehicles. But just like Roger Stone. But I mean, I guess Bezos doesn't have to pay anything in taxes for 2 years. That sounds odd to me.
That is odd. And the thing is that Jeff Bezos is hardly a conservative, as you know, Sean. He owns the Washington Post.
Oh, yeah. They're so nice to me, the Washington Post. They're so kind. It's unbelievable.
Exactly. So he is no conservative. And yet even he follows this policy where he goes where the taxes are the lowest and the policies are the best for his businesses.
All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back more with Steve Moore at the top of the hour. I mean, what's going on with this whole case of Jussie Smollett? It's getting more bizarre, stranger by the second, and now the Chicago police are saying, yeah, they're not really believing him anymore. Something is going to happen here, probably momentarily. Quick break, right back, more with Steve Moore on the other side. Hey, listen. All right, as we continue with Steve Moore, author of Trumponomics and also a member of the Heritage Foundation, let's go over the verbiage of Andrew Cuomo, because it's so revealing. It goes, you know, we're losing $2.3 billion in taxes, and this is, you know, this is horrible, and it presents a fragile economy because you're relying on a very small number of people for the vast amount of tax dollars. And then he goes through the numbers, which I've been giving out for you. 1% pay almost half all the taxes. 1% of people in New York pay almost half. 1% of all those. Now, then he goes on to say the top 10%, they pay, you know, 5% rather, they pay 63%. The top 10% pay 74%. The bottom 50% pay nothing, absolutely nothing. That is his progressive system that is driving those people out. Now, there's nothing that can keep him from staying. Here's my big picture question, though. If Ocasio-Cortez and everything's free, 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 we're going to get rid of oil and gas and in 10 years and coal, and we're going to transform the economy. Everyone's afforded free housing, free college, free government healthy food, we'll have no more cows, and airplanes will go away, but it might take a little bit longer. What happens to the United States of America if we ever adopted that stupidity? I would say we'd crash and burn in a year.
Probably. I mean, look, I just looked up the statistics just in the fossil fuel industry alone. And by the way, the left hates the fossil fuels. There are about 10 million direct and indirect jobs in places like Texas and North Dakota. I was in Ohio last week, Sean. Ohio is booming, never before. You know why? Because they've got the Marcellus Shale there. They've become the biggest natural gas producers in the world. In the central Ohio, and Pennsylvania is the same thing. And by the way, natural gas is a clean burning fuel. It doesn't even make
it's the cleanest. And that's the thing. It's the absolute cleanest. And it's just unbelievable. All right. So I guess the answer is what? That if these states, if they don't want to have economic catastrophes, because that's what Cuomo's basically saying is going to happen. The only way I see to fix it is whatever they were offering Amazon to incentivize them, it probably would be a good idea to offer it to everybody, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, my solution for New York and California and Illinois and New Jersey, Connecticut, adopt a flat tax, like, you know, just a 6% flat tax. Everybody pays. You know, the problem is you get a 13% tax there, you know, on the rich. But guess what? When the rich move out, they pay zero. So what's 13% of zero? It's like I said, liberals don't understand math.
Yeah, good point. All right. Steve Moore, Heritage Foundation. Pretty unbelievable.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
All right, news roundup and information overload. Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. Mentioned this earlier. Up till today, I was watching at a distance, which I often tried to do because I just didn't know. You had these allegations that were being made by Jussie Smollett about an ugly race attack, allegedly, you know, by people wearing Donald Trump MAGA hats, et cetera, et cetera. Now, remember, this is right on the heels of the media's obsessive compulsive rush to judgment on the Covington Catholic school kids. Now we've got Smollett in this particular case. You know, it's a guy, if you read his Twitter, I mean, it's just foul language, loving Ocasio-Cortez, but hating Donald Trump. And then you see everybody without any information, any facts, just one guy's statement. They rush out there and, you know, just take his side. And, you know, I don't like this rush to judgment. I mean, look at all the 2020 contenders, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Kirsten Gillibrand, Julian Castro, Joe Biden, another one, Nancy Pelosi, Congresswoman Tlaib, Ocasio-Cortez, Maxine Waters on TV. You got Don Lemon and, you know, actress Ellen Page and so many others. And, you know, now we get to a point where, well, let me play some of these, this rush to judgment for you.
Beaten with a noose around his neck and hospitalized, Empire star Jussie Smollett was the victim of a vicious, racist, and homophobic attack.
His attackers hurled racial and homophobic slurs.
Two people yelled racist and homophobic slurs.
Racial and homophobic slurs.
Not only homophobia, we're talking about racism. We're talking about hate with steroids.
They are looking for two suspects who were apparently wearing Make America Great Again hats.
The offenders uttered, "This is MAGA country."
The hate crime went down early this morning in Chicago.
It's hard to believe that we're reporting, that we're even saying words like this in 2019. Mm-hmm.
And this is America in 2019.
Well, the information's still coming out, and I'm going to withhold until all the information actually comes out. We know in America that bigoted and biased attacks are on the rise in a serious way. What we're seeing is attacks on people because they're different, and we all need to join together and condemn those attacks.
Since 9/11, the majority of the terrorist attacks on our soil have been right-wing terrorist attacks.
We have to understand this is happening for a reason. It's coming from the President of the United States. He's dog whistling every day. He's separating and dividing. And he is basically emboldening those folks who feel this way.
The only problem is, according to Chicago police, they're not buying the story anymore. From CBS News, the headline is, oh, brothers, two Nigerian brothers arrested in connection with the assault on actor Jussie Smollett, are no longer suspects in the case, in the attack, alleged attack. They're now cooperating with the police. And a source close to the investigation confirms that CBS News that the brothers told detectives that Smollett paid them to participate in the alleged attack, and that they purchased the rope, which was found around Smollett's neck. And apparently Smollett's, you know, friends got $3,500 and another $500 upon their return to the U.S., and apparently they even rehearsed the alleged attack, and that they were paid to orchestrate and stage the attack. You look at Smollett's tweets in the past, you know, shut the hell up, you B-A-N. You continue to run this country further into the ground and risk the lives every time you breathe. You're not the president, just a dumpster full of hate, F-O-H, sick to my stomach, and it goes on from there. And AOC is speaking facts, so he has a strong political leanings in his feed. The question is, there was nobody that was critical in the media. Now, I purposely just stood back, just looked at it, looked at there was some rumblings that maybe this wasn't right, wanted to wait and see and not rush to judgment like the media always does. Joe Concha is with us. He's with The Hill. And by the way, a new radio show on WOR, our affiliate in New York, at 6 p.m. Local time. How are you, sir?
Well, thanks for the shout out on the new radio show, Sean. I'm doing okay. It's great to be on WOR here in New York. The problem is our lead in is weak. So we need to build really a big audience because we have this guy Hannity from 3 to 6 that's leading into us. And they say with a weak lead in, it's very challenging.
It's nice having you as a guest on 615 stations. You're now finished. This is your last appearance.
No!
Goodbye.
You know,
I'm teasing.
Like that.
Look, you follow the media. Where were you in this? Because I just had this natural. You know, I was reading, watching, almost immediately questions were being raised, and I just said, okay, let me see what happens here.
for the first 2 weeks, I was like you. I was watching it from a distance. I was just waiting to see what other facts came out, because the story in itself is, I found somewhat bizarre in the beginning. So you're telling me that this actor is walking around the streets of Chicago during a polar vortex, mind you, which meant it was below, I think it was minus 20. So he goes out at 2 o'clock in the morning in minus 20 degree weather, and then two people just happen to be waiting in a premeditated way with a rope on them already, with bleach on them already, and this attack happened while they're yelling, "This is MAGA country," in one of the most liberal cities in the country. So right there, I was like, that sounds almost a little bit too perfect, right? And then once he wouldn't turn over, Smollett, once he didn't turn over the phone record, Sean, and when he did finally, they were heavily redacted, that's when I went on Tucker Carlson's show actually last week, and I said, you know what? I looked at all the headlines from this over the first 2 weeks, and almost none of them have the word alleged attack in it. It was automatically presented as absolute fact that he was attacked, that it was by Trump supporters, and that this definitely did happen in the way that Smollett described. Now, we say, you know, the media from a national level definitely failed here. If you could go below the grade F, it would probably be that. But I looked in Chicago, and I've been following ever since, the Chicago local media, which had their ear to the grindstone since this thing started, always characterized the attack as the attack that Smollett said happened. In other words, they didn't go all in the way our national media did, because our national media loved the narrative too much of Trump supporters attacking a black actor and trying to tie a noose around his neck. So now what I don't see, Sean, are apologies. All those clips you played in that montage before I came on, let's see how many of those people get on the air and say, you know what, we jumped the gun on this one, we jumped to conclusions, we got it wrong, we're sorry. I'll guarantee you it's probably going to be a number that, when you multiply it by zero, what it comes to. Zero.
Well, you know, on the heels of what happened with the Covington kids in Kentucky, and, you know, this narrative that they confronted this one kid in a MAGA hat, boy, people are just melting down over MAGA hats. Make America great again. Okay. It is insane the reaction these hats get. And they're more popular than ever. I should have gone into the MAGA hat business. It would have been a good business. But the first, you know, you get a little itsy bitsy clip. Everyone rushes. Wow, those bratty kids, they confronted Nathan Phillips, a Native American. And then all of a sudden, the story begins to change when you actually look at the videotape. And you see that, oh, there were the black Hebrew Israelites, you know, saying everything horrific to those kids. And Nathan Phillips, well, he actually walked up to the kid from Covington, who did nothing but smile, said nothing the whole time. And you look at the media reaction. Now, what these media people don't understand, and I do, I was in Atlanta when the Olympic bombing case happened, and the AJC came out with Richard Jewell fits the profile of the lone bomber. He lives with his mother. And I got to know Lynn Wood, and I got to know Richard Jewell. Richard Jewell gave me one of his first interviews because he heard me on radio say, just because you live with your mother doesn't make you a bomber. I said, you need more than that. But the media went insane, and as a result, the guy that I come to respect a lot, the attorney for Richard Jewell, is now the attorney for the Covington kids, and his name is Lynn Wood. He is going to crush them. He was also in the JonBenet Ramsey case. This guy, I would not want a letter from him saying, hold on to all your electronic messages, da-da-da-da-da, because you're dead. He will crush these media outlets, and they're all going to pay, every one of them.
Wow. And, you know, the allegation always gets 100 times the play than the exoneration. And that's what happened with the Covington kids, obviously, when, you know, there was an investigation and then it was found that they did absolutely nothing wrong. But here's the thing. All these stories have something in common: the lack of due process, the assumption of guilt, whether it's the president or whether it's his supporters, and not getting all the facts before jumping to that conclusion. You mentioned Covington. How about Brett Kavanaugh? Same thing. Assumption of guilt. He had to have done all those horrible things to Christine Blasey Ford or to Julie Swetnick and all the people that came forward. Why? Because he's Trump's nominee, of course. And then the same thing as well.
Here's she's actually making the claim that it was almost every weekend. Almost every weekend, teenage boys were drugging through the punch these teenage girls, and the girls would be so drugged out that they would, you know, would be put in a room, and the boys would line up in a hall, and they would gang rape these girls almost every weekend. It was spectacularly suspicious from the second it came out. And the media ran with it all. And look at what
happened. There's no logic applied, right? I mean, if you're Julie Swetnick, and you're, by the way, she was 3 years out of high school, which is very common for girls that are out of high school to go back to high school parties.
Well, she also changed the story. Well, I saw him near the punch bowl. I didn't see him spike it. Well, I saw he had a red solo cup with him, and he wasn't standing in line, but I saw him in a hall.
Right.
Pretty different story.
Simple logic, right? Then why would somebody keep going back to parties where all these horrible things were happening? Then the story doesn't even get any play. Then any editor, any producer wouldn't put that woman on the air. And sure enough, NBC News did. While with the disclaimer saying, we can't corroborate anything she's saying, but let's give her a national stage anyway, right? So that's what we're seeing here. It's across the board. We're not going to see any apologies. We're not going to see any accountability from anybody who may have misreported this or jumped the gun. And how about all the politicians here, by the way? Whether you're talking about Kamala Harris or Cory Booker, who really takes the cake, because he says on January 29th, quote, the vicious attack on actor Jussie Smollett was an attempted modern-day lynching. I'm glad he's safe. You know what he said on February 17th, just over the weekend? Well, the information is still coming out, and I'm going to withhold until all the information comes out. You're going to withhold? You didn't withhold. You already gave.
You're right. You already dove it. It's interesting. There is a reverse side of this.
It drives me crazy.
Did you see ABC had a report of a Tennessee man is in jail after being accused of pulling a gun on a Sam's Club customer? And apparently this guy was wearing a MAGA hat. And, you know, Sam's Club is I'm pretty sure still a subsidiary of Walmart. Anyway, the man, one of those, like us, smelly Walmart Trump supporters, and according to the victim, a man pulls a gun on him because he's wearing a Make America Great Again hat, and I have as much right to wear that hat and support my country and my president as he has not to. And it goes on to say, it's a good day for you to die, as he put a .40 caliber and stuck it in the guy's face. And he says, I said, pull the trigger. Put the gun down and fight me, or pull the trigger, whichever you want.
Man, pretty gutsy guy. I mean, and if the hat said something like white power at a Nazi symbol, then I totally get it. But really, it's a positive message, and I don't see why people have to just have these sort of reactions. You had, you know, some folks on CNN who call themselves anchors that was actually saying, you know what, that hat shouldn't be worn in public anymore because of what it represents. What does it represent? What 63 million people voted for in a duly elected president slogan? That's it. That's all. But this is where we're at now at this point, Sean. Right. This is where we are.
Well, stay right there. We'll come back more with Joe Concha with the Hill and WOR in New York as we continue a full coverage of all these stories, the deep state, the incredible, outrageous conduct of these upper echelon FBI officials, deep state. We'll also have the latest on the border battle tonight. And why are people leaving all these high tax states that offer cradle to the grave, womb to the tomb coverage of everything? And what does that mean for the new Green Deal? All right, as we continue with Joe Concha of The Hill and WOR Radio, welcome back to the program. You know, you've mentioned a lot. This rush to judgment happens all the time. Let's go through the list. Cambridge Police, UVA, Duke Lacrosse, Trayvon and George Zimmerman, Ferguson. What other cases have there been? Freddie Gray in Baltimore, Kavanaugh.
St. Louis.
Yeah, all of these cases. They always rush to judgment. But I tell everybody, you know, I learned a lesson in the Richard Jewell case. I learned a lesson, you know, that you don't rush to judgment. It served me well in my career. You know, when the Duke Lacrosse case came up, I'm covering it, and it didn't make sense to me. And I actually go out and I meet a couple of the kids, meet a couple of the parents. I'm doing my own investigative work as a, yes, talk show host that also includes journalism and investigative reporting and opinion. And it also includes sports and gossip. And so, you know, I'm just, they always do it and seem to get away with it.
Because it's what happens when you're a little kid, right? Like, I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, and my 3-year-old has found a way to get into this pantry where we may or may not keep some candy and cookies. And for a while, he was getting away with it. Now, I don't know if he was knowingly doing it when you're 3. You know, but do you really have a diabolical mind?
What did you do? Beat the kid for trying to get a cookie?
Keep doing it.
No, you needed to say, good job, son. That was really clever. Now I'm going to hide it in a new place and see if you can find it.
Maybe I should have gone that route. But you know what I mean. I mean, without accountability in any capacity, whether you're 3 years old, 30 years old, nothing's going to change. So you keep seeing these mistakes. And you tell me how many firings or major suspensions that we've seen from media members when they've done wrong. I can't remember any since Anthony Scaramucci and three reporters getting fired like 2 years ago.
All right, Joe Concha, appreciate you being with us. 800-941-SEAN, your calls as we continue. It's the Sean Hannity Show. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. Man, what a news day. I mean, now we had that insane interview. There's going to be, look, I'm telling you something's coming. Been telegraphing it for some time. A lot of these deep state actors are in far more trouble, which is one of the reasons I think they're trying to go on offense, than anybody knows. You also have the Inspector General report on FISA abuse coming, and nobody seems to know what John Uber is doing out there. But if the new Attorney General does his job, he'll start back on the rigging of the investigation and, frankly, of Hillary Clinton, because they did rig it. They allowed her to stay in the race. She was their favored candidate. You know, the whole issue about, you know, what we learned about the FISA warrants. Well, that was also using Hillary's bought and paid for lies. They didn't even bother verifying it, never told the judges. They committed a fraud on the FISA courts. And then, of course, they used it all to bludgeon him because, as they said, they had an insurance policy. Yeah, and they were thinking about the 25th Amendment and wearing wires around the president because their precious leader, Jim Comey, who himself admitted they didn't need a reason to fire him. So we got that going on. We now have this mass migration out of high tax states. And, you know, I think Andrew Cuomo's quote about, yeah, we're desperate. Yeah, we tax the rich. We tax the rich. We did. But God forbid the rich are leaving because 1% of New Yorkers pay 50% of the tax bill. Those people are packing and leaving for states like Florida and Texas. Interesting. All these high-taxed, heavy-regulated states, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California, they're watching mass migration to low-taxed, better-weather states, no a business-friendly environment. And we're talking about the biggest companies. They've had it. They just have had it. And I don't think you can pull the genie out of the bottle now. How does New York now transition from this socialist progressive utopia into, okay, we're going to cut taxes and regulations and incentivize businesses? This has been their model. You know, one thing you got to remember, rich people aren't stupid, especially self-made rich people. They figured it out. They figured out how to make money producing goods and services people want, need, and desire. And maybe they needed to be in New York for a time, but in this day and age, you can do so much off location. Why bother paying the high rent, dealing with endless burdensome regulations and confiscatory high taxation? There's no point anymore. Now, we also have this, what we're just talking about in the last half hour, the Empire actor Jussie Smollett. And what's going on here? This is getting really out of control. Anyway, let's hit the phones. And the battle over the border continues, which is why I think the president was smart to get a down payment. The wall continues to get built as he moves forward. All right, let's say hi to Randy is in Scottsdale, Arizona. Randy, hi. How are you? Happy Monday. Welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, thanks, Sean. And thanks for everything you do. You're a patriot. We sure appreciate
thank you, sir.
Your voice.
You give me this microphone. I can't do it without you.
Hey, Sean. I know that I'm not the only one that's frustrated out here, just like you. We're waiting. Do you think this Attorney General Barr is going to actually do something and go after these people? Is it just going to go away? Is it going to get swept under the rug? Or are we going to see Comey and Clinton and Obama and all these deep state actors? Are we going to ever see them come to justice?
I think in the end it has to happen. It's so egregious. It's so outrageous where a few people, you know, literally set tried every which way they could to rig an election. Any other American that did what Hillary did, and if you put top secret classified special access programming information on your private server, it's against the law. It's a felony. It's called the Espionage Act. And we're actually pretty certain. I mean, even Comey in one of his drafts, along with Peter Strzok, had said they think six foreign intelligence agencies were able to hack into it. And then you delete subpoenaed emails and then you go through Bleachbit and the hammers and all that. How do you not hold them accountable? How do you not hold people? I know how I was raised that you go before a judge, even I don't care if it's a parking ticket. You ever go to a judge for a parking ticket?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember
it's
sitting
in a comfortable
in,
place.
The judge is like, if you don't address the court properly, I remember sitting there one night waiting for my name to get called. It was many, many, many years ago. Excuse me, you will address me as your honor. Did you or did you? And then the guy starts not answering the judge's question. Guilty. Done. Out the door. because they have so many people there. The guy was trying to, they have to not say yes, yes, sir, yes, your honor, yes, ma'am, yes, your honor, is just nuts. And I think those FISA court judges are going to be pissed. I bet you they're pissed now.
Well, that's the era that we were raised up in with respect for law. And that's how I was raised.
Yeah, well, I mean, respect for the rule of law. And if we don't have equal application and equal justice, then we're really in deep trouble. Anyway, Randy, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go back to our phones. Dwayne is in Tucson in Arizona. Dwayne, hi. How are you? What's going on?
Yeah, good, sir. I'm a proud listener since the day you went national.
Oh, thank you very much, sir.
Unfortunately, we're one of the Angel families. And
I'm so sorry. By the way, those that don't know, you lost a son or daughter or family member to an illegal immigrant?
Yeah, my brother-in-law, my wife's older brother, was literally brutally murdered by a criminal alien that had been deported 5 times. I won't even describe the murder. It was so brutal. But
you know, let me ask you a question. At some point, these people that continue to, with all of these homicides that we've chronicled and all these sexual assaults and all the 90% of heroin and the fentanyl now and violent assaults, and you hear it and you hear the story about the guy that kills your brother-in-law, and you're thinking he was here and deported 5 times and he could just walk back in? I would be angry and feel like those people that have these policies that don't fix this problem are culpable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This gentleman had, misstated by calling him a gentleman, had a police report sheet that was 5 pages long. And I don't understand why he wasn't forever in jail. But last week, when I heard Mr. Acosta in the briefing by the president talk about manufactured emergency, it just made my blood absolutely boil. You know, I wonder, and you hear it from the Democrats, you hear it from some Republicans, and you wonder, if this happened to your family, God help, would you still think this wasn't an emergency? How many people
Let me play the whole exchange for our audience.
Damage?
So fake news, hate Trump reporter Jim Acosta stands up. Now, the president, at this announcement of declaring the national emergency, they referred to the fact that there was a recent Angel family that was there and were happy that the president was doing this. And look at the listen to the question and then listen to the president's answer. It's priceless.
There's a lot of reporting out there. There's a lot of crime data out there. There's a lot of Department of Homeland Security data out there that shows border crossings at a near record low. That shows undocumented immigrants committing crime at lower levels. That shows undocumented criminals or undocumented immigrants committing crime at lower levels than native-born Americans. What do you say to
you don't really believe that stat? Do you really believe that stat? Take a look at our federal prisons.
I believe in facts and statistics and data.
Okay, any more quick. Let's go.
Let me just ask you this. What do you say to your critics who say that you are creating a national emergency, that you're concocting a national emergency here in order to get your wall because you couldn't get it through other ways?
What do you think? Do you think I'm creating something? Ask these incredible women who lost their daughters and their sons.
This is real.
Okay? Because your question is a very political question because you have an agenda. You're CNN. You're fake news. You have an agenda. The numbers that you gave are wrong. Take a look at our federal prison population. See how many of them, percentage-wise, are illegal aliens. Just see. Go ahead and see. It's a fake question.
He asked, you know, Dwayne, if it's, you know, use the talking point of the Democrats, which, by the way, in Obama's second term had a very different point of view. They politicized this. And the media, they're willing accomplices. And did you hear the angel mom say, it's real? Well, there's 4,000 homicides in a 2-year period. There's 30,000 sexual assaults in a 2-year period. There's 100,000 violent assaults in a 2-year period. And then you have the 90% of heroin coming into the country and 300 kids are dying every week. Yeah, that's real. That's not manufactured. You've lived it.
Absolutely. You know, we really are starting to feel, you know, two things infuriated me. One is some of the people in the news said, we were being used as pawns. Quite the contrary. We're reaching out to say, we don't want this to ever happen to another family. We know what we had to go through. It's years of anguish and torture. the gentleman who killed my brother-in-law still has not been caught. He ran back over the borders of Mexico. And on top of that, you know, you hear them talking about how things are coming across the border, especially drugs. And, you know, they're saying that it's only coming through the ports of entry. I'm in construction for a living. I own construction companies. And I get to talk to people on the job site constantly. A number of them from different groups have guys that are illegal in them. We'll talk to him for a while. I talked to one of the gentlemen at length, and he had informed me how he'd come across the border. It was with a coyote with a 60-pound backpack on his back. That was part of his payment to come across. And it wasn't near a checkpoint. The whole group, he said there was about 20, 25 in the group. All of them had backpacks, and all of them had 60-plus pounds of drugs on their back coming across our border. So not only are these murderers coming across, you've got people carrying 60-pound backpacks of drugs.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I don't know how many lives have to be impacted before. Look, I've just come to the conclusion, and we saw this all unfold, and it's really simple. The Democrats that claim to have compassion for Dreamers, for the DACA program, that just a couple of years ago were willing to build walls saying they work and sounding like Trump, they cared about furloughed employees, they wouldn't even sit down with the president. Their hatred for President Trump literally is their number one focus and priority, and all of this other phony compassion that they talk about is pure political theater. But, Dwayne, I'm sorry about your family, your brother-in-law. Thanks for sharing your story. Yeah, it's real. You don't think it's real? How would you feel if it was your family member? Back to our phones. Scott is in North Carolina. Scott, hi. How are you? Welcome to the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, Sean. Thank you. It's kind of hard to follow a call like that, but bring back around a little bit here. Why isn't anybody talking about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez receiving $10 million from Netflix for her so-called election story? I mean, giving somebody that kind of money who's been in Congress for 6 weeks doesn't make any sense.
I don't know when the deal. I've read that there was some deal. I didn't even look into the details of it. Ethan, you know the details of that?
Production company has been given $10 million to the rights to her story.
Okay, a production company. Does that go to her? Is it her production company?
It's a little odd the way that they've publicly worded everything, so no one really knows, but, I mean, that does put her at the $10 million
mark. Yeah, because I saw the thing. But, you know, it's funny, by the way, if I have a production company and it's not the Sean Hannity, Inc., it's called a shell corporation. You know, that's everybody has names for their corporations or their LLCs or whatever. Yeah, I mean, you know, look at it. How much is Netflix paying the Obamas for production stuff? Like $50 million.
That's the thing, Sean. You know, when I remembered that Obama and Valerie Jarrett were on the board of directors for Netflix, it all made sense. I mean, are they trying to keep her relevant even if she loses her reelection? It makes me really uncomfortable the fact that Netflix is trying to influence politics like this.
Well, look, you get to the great thing about Netflix or Amazon Prime, and I have them both because I can't find anything I ever want to watch. And even with these services, it takes, I don't know if you've ever gone through like all 400 channels that you have, then you got pay-per-view, and then you got, you know, it's so hard to find something that I like. I like a lot of different shows. I like a lot of documentaries. I like to learn something, or I like if something's good, that's got to move me in some way. And, you know, like I liked Homeland, the series on Showtime. That was really good. And a couple of other shows I watched. You just pick and choose. That's the bottom line. It gives you more options for the limited time that I do watch TV, which is very limited. You know, TV's now basically transitioned to on demand. The only two exceptions to that are sports and news. And I think it's going to get it's going to go more in that direction. But, yeah, you're not going to have to watch anything. You pick and choose what you want to watch. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. We will have all of this madness in terms of the New Deal. See what it's doing to New York, New Jersey, California? Yeah, well, that's coming to an entire country near you, known as the United States. The insanity, deep state news. Yeah, there was an attempted coup, and we have the evidence. We'll break it all down for you tonight. And also the latest on this whole media wild ride with Jussie Smollett and all the people that rushed to judgment and didn't ask one critical question. All right, we'll have all of that tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. We'll see you back here tomorrow.